Well, I certainly desire your prayers this morning. I'm thankful. Brother Drew was just saying earlier, we serve a risen Savior. And that's why we're here today. And I certainly desire your prayers. The Lord has given me some thoughts, and need the Lord's help to be able to get them out as he's inspired them to me. So I'll write the title on the board here this morning. Okay, so I've written on the board, Power Through the Lamb That Was Slain. And I want to start off with some little basic fundamentals here this morning. And I want to start off with a simple math equation and see if you guys can help me solve this. Some of the children out there, what's the answer to this math equation I have written on the board? 2 plus 2 equals, go ahead, Noah. 4, that's right. Thank you. That is correct. That is the right answer. Okay, so that is a very basic fundamental of math, is addition. That's one of the easiest parts of math, and I remember even before I was in school, being around my older brothers and older cousins, you know, they're talking about all their math, so I'm learning some of the basics even before I went to school. But there was obviously addition, then subtraction, then multiplication. And how many children are used to using your multiplication tables here this morning? Any children been using those? Yeah, we got a few children out there using them. All right, good deal. Well, I remember learning those, and it was kind of challenging. But the more I used it, the more it made sense. And there were some practical applications that the teacher would use, you know, in the front of the class. Then there came some more challenging stuff, like fractions and decimals. And that was a whole other realm. I'm like, oh, wow. Then it was, you know, adding and multiplying fractions and decimals, so on and so forth. And then later, as I got into high school, started into algebra, geometry, and some of those other classes, and learning to use these larger formulas, they were much more challenging. But the interesting thing is all of these complicated formulas that we were using in school started with the basics, just like 2 plus 2 equals 4, all right? It started with the basics, the fundamentals of math. And one thing that I've always loved about math is it is exact. And it's right. As long as you work it right, you get the same answer over and over. Isn't that amazing how God created that? Okay? And you think of some of the amazing structures that were built over the years and the centuries. Remember the pyramids? Those are still an astounding creation of mankind, but they use some math, some trigonometry, geometry, all these things to where they cut some of these stones so precise that you can just barely slide a piece of paper in between them, and to haul them for however far to get and to build these structures are amazing. But again, they started with the basics. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Okay, so this morning I want to start with a basic fundamental biblical principles, and it starts in the book of Genesis this morning, and we will get to talking about Jesus, the risen Savior, so just bear with me a little bit. And before I read some of these scriptures, I just want us to, I pray that you'll be patient with me, because there are several scriptures I want to read, and I don't want to get bogged down in them, and I may even skip a few here or there, but I want to get a hold of the foundation and the basics of what God was trying to present to mankind. And it was recorded in the book of Genesis. And here in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, this is a story of Abraham and Isaac, okay? And what I love about this is Abraham was just a man like you and I, all right? Just a common man. God called him into the new land here. And remember the story with him and his nephew, Lot? But later, God promised him a son, and yet when he was up in old age, and he and his wife finally had a son, Isaac. So they finally got this precious son that God had given, it promised him he would bless his lineage. Like, why don't you have a son? Well, God finally gave him a son. Then God required and asked him to give his son back, Isaac. All right. So that's where this 22nd chapter of Genesis picks up. And I want to read, I'm going to start with verse 6, Genesis 22 and 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Can you imagine? I can't fathom being Abraham or Isaac in this situation. But truly, Abraham was a man of faith. Okay? So as we go on, he was the father of faith, in fact. So it goes on here. And verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. What do you think's going through Isaac's mind? And through Abraham's mind? Is this it? It wasn't, thank the Lord. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You see, this was a test. God was testing Abraham. And Abraham passed the test with flying colors. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld him, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Thank the Lord. And what I love about this is that promise that God gave Abraham right at the last, he'd already promised him earlier that God would bless his seed, even before he had a son. Then he finally gives him his son, and Abraham's willing to give his son, and yet God spares him, and then he provides a ram, and then God says, okay, now I'm truly going to bless you. I'm going to hold true to this promise, okay? And what I love about this is God did exactly that, because Abraham's seed has multiplied. Folks, we are Abraham's seed here in the spirit. Thank the Lord. So I want to dig into this just a little bit. There's five little points I want to focus on. Again, these are just going to be some basic fundamentals of biblical teaching here, and how these things relate in a spiritual sense, okay? So the first thing I want to take notice, and I want to emphasize this. This story relates directly to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, okay? So, bear with me here. So, the first point to cover is the fact that that Isaac was Abraham's only son, okay? Just as God gave his only begotten son, Jesus, for us, all right? So, a second point, in carrying the wood, Isaac was the one, as we read here, I believe it was verse 6, that Abraham gave the wood and put it on Isaac's back to carry the wood, okay, up the mountain. Well, Jesus himself carried his own cross, his own wooden cross, all right? So there's another similarity. And a third point, the sacrifice that was substituted. The ram died in place of Abraham's son, Isaac. All right. It was the ram said, Behold behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. So God's only son died in our place. All right? For our sins. Thank the Lord. That we didn't have to die on the cross. Jesus died. He took our place, folks. Just as this ram took the place of Isaac. And God provided that for him. Which leads into the next point. Point number four. The divine provision. Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. This is one of the many names of God, the great titles of God. This is one of them. And it is, again, is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And that's exactly what the Lord, God had that ram stuck in that thicket well before Abraham started up the mountain. I'm convinced of that. He'd been sitting there, all right? God had him placed there for a purpose, for a specific time. And when the time was right, he allowed Abraham to turn around and see the ram that was caught. The ram that took the place of his son, Isaac. And so it is, a divine provision. God has provided a sacrifice, the lamb that was slain for us, for our sins. Thank the Lord. And then again, the resurrection symbolism here. Let's talk about that briefly. We'll say it this way. Abraham, obviously by his great faith, because he told the ones that he left when he and Isaac started from the group that they started out with originally, he said, we will come back again to you. When he and Isaac left, so it's like he had the faith that he didn't know how this was going to happen, but even if he had to take his son's life, Abraham believed God could resurrect him again from the dead. That was his faith. He believes, like, we're going to come back. We will come back to you. And truly they did. But it was his great faith that he had in God, because God had already given him the son. It was a promise. God had held true to that. He's like, if God held true to give me the son and I take his life, God will give him back to me again. He had that faith, and thank the Lord he did. And I want to read a scripture that bears this out as well. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I just want to turn and read that briefly, because I love how the writer puts this. In Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. I want to read these here. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, in some sense, he believed God was going to bring Isaac back to life. All right? So, and it was the same way that Jesus was also resurrected from the dead and brought back to life. All right? That same power is manifested in Jesus. Okay? So again, these are just a few basic truths that we covered in the book of Genesis, all right? And again, these, God is using just regular people like Abraham and Isaac, okay? They raised flocks of goats and rams and cattle and so on and so forth. They were farmers, all right? Nomads, and some of us are that as well, all right? So just common folk, but yet God used them and gave them a promise, and God fulfilled those promises, all right? Now, I want to move forward. And I want to talk about the resurrection story briefly. And I want to cover the story in the book of Matthew. So I want to shift gears here just for a little bit. So in Matthew, the 28th chapter, y'all pray for us. I want to try to cover the points the Lord's impressed me with here this morning. So I want to talk about the resurrection, Jesus' resurrection here in Matthew 28. And I want to read, I'm just going to read these first eight verses, I believe will be enough. It says in Matthew 28 and 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Oh, thank the Lord that not only were these scriptures recorded by the Gospels and recorded by these men of God, but it was the fact that it actually happened. Because many of these disciples witnessed this, and the couple of Marys, and there were other different ones that witnessed this resurrection that was very obvious. The tomb was empty. He was in there. The stone was rolled over. This was impossible. There were soldiers around it. But what happened there? An earthquake came, and the angel rolled the stone away, all right? So there was something supernatural that God created there, okay? And let's read on. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And what I love about this part too is he told them that he goeth before you into Galilee. What that's meaning is he's still here and he's alive and he's walking among us. And truly that was the case. He's shown himself to many of them different times. And why did he do that? It was to encourage them. It was to comfort them. It was to inspire them that this thing is not over. It has just begun, in fact. All right. And he tarried with them. What was it? Around 50 days till the day of Pentecost. All right. But throughout those days, that span of time, Jesus was meeting and he was appearing where they were meeting and visiting with them. And it was to show himself strong in their behalf that they might be encouraged and inspired that this was truly a miracle from God. And this is the promise. He said, "Lo, I have told you." This is what was told you before. And now it's happening. All right. Thank the Lord that it is true. And again, these are just some of the, how could we say this? This is like another layer and another level of some of the foundational and fundamental truths. Just like back in Genesis, it was the 2 + 2 = 4. And then we're getting to the level here where the disciples, they weren't understanding everything before the crucifixion. And then even during the crucifixion, there was still a little bit of confusion, but and things were a little more complicated. And so you could say maybe it advanced to something like this. Three times three equals what? Any children here help us with that?
Nine.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Okay, so things were advancing. All right. And we could use some other more complicated, but we just used another somewhat simple one there. But the point again was God was using his disciples. All right. Jesus called his disciples. They were just common men. They were fishermen. They were carpenters or whatever positions they had. They were just a tax collector. Just called them to follow him. All right. And they left everything and followed him. And God used them, even though they didn't understand everything. But yet they're building their faith and their confidence upon things that he was telling them. Remember when he the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes and the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew. There was so much packed in there. And Jesus is teaching them. Some of it they understood, some of it they didn't. But there was going to come a time that everything was going to start making more sense. All right? But he was building up to something. And even after, especially when Jesus was on the cross, most of them had forsaken him. All right? They were at a distance, some of them, and like, we don't know what to do. And then some of the others had left, and then there was Judas. And so there's a lot of confusion, a lot of questions, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. And that's why Jesus said, he goeth before you into Galilee. And he wanted to spend some more time with them. And truly he did that before he ascended and before the day of Pentecost. All right? So I want to emphasize something here, and I want to read a scripture. It's a very common one. This was a prophecy of the coming Messiah of Jesus. And remember what it says in Isaiah 61 and 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." This is the prophet Isaiah saying it. And remember when Jesus stood up And he asked for the scroll, and he read this exact scripture from the prophet Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And there's more good left in the other second, third scriptures there, but that's enough for now. But the point is, God knew that he had sent his son Jesus to do this, and Jesus understood his calling. Jesus understood his ministry. And there were some things, no doubt, Jesus was frustrated sometimes with his disciples, but yet he was patient with the process. All right, he was laying the foundation for them. The 2 + 2 = 4, 3 × 3 = 9. And he kept adding more challenging, difficult things, but yet he wasn't forsaking them. He wasn't just leaving them out to dry, so to speak. But to think of this, he was leading up to the day of Pentecost. All right, he was with them there for a few weeks. All right, after the resurrection. And it was leading up to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would come and start revealing things to them personally. Because God is a personal God. And Jesus promised, "I will not leave you comfortless." That's exactly the promise he gave. The disciples didn't understand it. He started with the basics. He came and he was with them. He went before them to Galilee after the resurrection. He was comforting them while he could, all right, before his ascension and before the day of Pentecost. But after that, that's when the Holy Spirit would be the comforter, the personal comforter, as they went and spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Oh, thank the Lord. That's how we receive the gospel, is through the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. All right. So I want to shift gears here a little bit. And I want to jump ahead to some advanced math. And this is after the day of Pentecost, and we could read some in the book of Acts. I'm not going to read necessarily any from the book of Acts. I may reference some of that, as I already did with the day of Pentecost. But there's something else that took place. And before I write this on the board, I want to sing a verse in our hymnal, number 185. And I want to sing the first verse. And I want you all to pay attention to these words. Really close. I'm sorry, that was not the one. Not 185. Which one was that? The Lion of Judah, sorry. What's that?
85.
85, okay. I don't know how I got the one in there. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, so let's sing verse 1 of the Lion of Judah. And pay attention to these words really close. Okay, thank you. We'll cover some of this song here in just a moment. But I wrote something else on the board up here. And I want to ask some of the math scholars out here, what did I write on the board up here? Anybody know? Okay, yes. And what I love about this, notice something, y'all. Do you realize that all of these things are based upon learning the alphabet and our numbers? All right, but now they're combined into something else, which would be what? It's an equation. What's that? The quadratic formula. Yes. And I remember that one very well. That one was a struggle. Yeah, it was in Algebra 2, I think, is when I learned that one. Is that right, Ron? Algebra 2? And I remember my brother Ron, especially. He was a few years older than me. And I remember him taking some of these advanced classes, and I see all these scribbles and these long formulas. I'm like, ugh. And then I kind of came a point, and because of the direction I was wanting to go in my career, I had to learn some of this stuff. But you know what's interesting is, I think the last time I used the quadratic formula was in high school. We have computers that do so much for us now. But what are some examples, perhaps some of you all know, why would a person want to use this quadratic formula? I mean, how is that practical? Why would you want to do that? Right, yes. And here's an example. That's very good, Noah. And here's an example. Because in physics and engineering, there's some challenging things that they're trying to calculate, like the path of a projectile, like how that projectile, like if you're throwing a ball or hit a baseball, like what path it would follow. Again, we have computers that can do that now. But back in the day, they had to figure that out by longhand. And it's using this quadratic formula. And there's other things that that they use it for, calculating areas and determining a profit and loss in business, which I don't know how you would do that, but there's people that figured out how to do that the longhand way. Again, we have computers and apps and everything that do it for us now, okay? So this is much more advanced, all right? But again, a lot of the basic principles started with the simple equations and the simple alphabet. But you had to learn those things first and understand that and practice those. Then later you can start using something much more advanced, okay? So back to the song, number 85, The Lion of Judah. So I want to switch gears in a spiritual sense here. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain, in power and glory has risen to reign. He only is worthy, none else could prevail, to conquer the dragon and open the seal. There's a lot to cover. We're not going to cover everything in that first verse. But I do want to turn to some scriptures in the book of Revelation, all right? The last book in the Bible, because there is something powerful in what John the Revelator wrote here. And I want to say something just as a little precursor here before we dig into some of these scriptures. I'm not going to be the first one to confess, because I know other people have confessed this too. Sometimes the book of Revelation can be confusing and challenging to understand. But I want to say this, that as time has gone on, and as I've dug into some of the meaning and interpretations and reading commentaries and studying it out, so on and so forth, the more I dig into it, is the older I get, the more I realize that this book is written more as, you could say, as a battle cry for God's children to be encouraged and inspired that in the end, God and good wins. All right? In the end. There's a song that actually says it this way. I've read the back of the book and God wins. Okay? And that is so true because, folks, I want to tell you something here this morning. The scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness and all those things that's all around us. And we see and we feel it, don't we? In the spiritual realm. There's so much evil and so much wickedness that's hiding behind a facade. And it's like wolves in sheep's clothing. And at one time you thought this organization or this person or this group of people, whatever, they were great and they were following the Lord and they're doing all these wonderful things. But then later you find out that, oh, actually, they were hypocrites. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying sometimes we get disappointed in life because people let us down, all right? But folks, let's not forget the basics here. The basics are we go back to 2 plus 2 equals 4. And I want to equate this to this. God gave promises to Abraham, as we read earlier. And God held true to those promises, did he not? Do you realize he will hold true to his promises for you and I? Yes, even in the day and age we live in now, okay? God's going to hold true to his promises for us as his dear children in the day and age we live in 2026, right now, because God is an eternal God, all right? So, let's turn and read some scriptures here in the fifth chapter of Revelation. Revelation 5. I'm going to try to cut some of these verses out because there's so many. But it's talking about the book that God had in heaven, that there was none worthy to open. It was sealed. And we could say this could mean the plan of his redemption plan of salvation. And so he's up in heaven and they're worried, like, there's nothing that can, no one can do this. But it says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Verse 5. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David, which is Jesus Christ. All right. There's many other scriptures we could read to bear that out, but that's who he's talking about. He's saying, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I want to skip on down to verse 8. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Thank the Lord. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, which is hundreds of millions. All right. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Thank the Lord. So again, what happened here is Jesus was the key, all right? He's the one that solved the puzzle, so to speak. He was the one that was able to break the seals open of God's plan of redemption for mankind. And he's the one that was willingly offered himself as a sacrifice, all right? And took our place, just like the ram took the place of Isaac. And Jesus took our place, died on the cross, that we might be saved from sin. Thank the Lord. And not just be saved from sin, but be saved from the destruction of sin. All right? Which is death, hell, and the grave. All those things, because Satan is seeking to devour all of us and destroy us. All right? But Jesus came to redeem us and to save us. So here's the conflict of good versus evil, right versus wrong. But I remind us again, we've read the back of the book and God wins. Good and God will win in the end, all right? We have to maintain that. Go back to the basics. God promised, I will be with you. And when Jesus came and he was resurrected, he went before them into Galilee. He paved the way for them. He showed them a way. He showed them an example. And then he gave the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then once they obtained that, then they were able to grow and mature and develop and to understand more of these complicated things, all right? And then it comes to us personally today, all right? And that's what this is talking about. That he made it, that he has made us into our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So this morning in the adult Sunday school, I didn't realize it was going to be talking about some of that. But it touched on some of this. The fact that we can reign with God. All right? Let's think about this just a little bit. A king and a priest is, those are positions of power and authority. Okay? So what God is saying here is through Jesus and then through the giving of the Holy, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the fact that we can have power and authority over Satan's powers, the temptations of the flesh, the temptations that Satan brings to us to commit sins on a daily basis, saying, I have powers to break that and to break the chains. And what did it say? Jesus came to do what? He came to preach good tidings to the meek and send me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and open the prison to them that are bound. Remember when the tomb was, or the stone was rolled away from the tomb. There was an imprisonment there, all right? There was a power that man put that stone in place to try to hold Jesus captive. But what broke that chain? What broke that power? It was God himself through the power of the resurrection of Jesus, resurrected himself from the dead and walked out of that tomb, thank the Lord, unbound. Thank the Lord. Jesus can do that for us in the spirit as well. That we can walk around unbound by the chains of sin. And we can reign over sin as kings and priests. Also as a priest having connection with God. Communing with God just like the priest did. And reigning with power and authority. It's not succumbing to the intimidations and the threats and the fears. All the things that Satan will throw at us. What does the scripture say? But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Folks, that spiritual maturity, that's working with this quadratic formula over here, is taking the basics and it's working them in our everyday lives. The Holy Spirit taking little pieces of things we've known in the past and we've grown to understand as we get older and putting them all in place and then using them to get an answer that's right and correct and true every time that defeats Satan in our personal lives. Thank the Lord. That's what we have. Again, power through the Lamb that was slain. That's what Jesus came to give us this morning. Thank the Lord. Well, as I was saying earlier, there was a lot that God was doing throughout the centuries. He started with Genesis. And in our scriptures here, he ends with the book of Revelation. But what I love about this is, again, it was just common folks that wrote the scriptures here. Yes, there were some that maybe were prophets, but they started out just common. And you remember the story of Gideon? That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. He started out and God called him a mighty man of valor. He was speaking truth to him because he saw what was in his heart, that he had some faith and confidence in God, but he was still fearful and timid, hiding from the enemy, threshing the wheat in a wine press in a pit, not knowing that's not very effective, all right? But yet, God called him a mighty man of valor, Gideon. And remember the victory that he gained in the end. And how was that? Was it with thousands of soldiers? No, it was whittled down to just 300 faithful men. And it was the faith and confidence. Remember what the Lord told Gideon. Go in this thy might. Have not I called thee? All right. So these are some promises, some fundamentals here that God was working with Gideon. And just some basic everyday things. But it was leading up to a great battle. A big formula later. All right. And in the end, he gained the victory. So let's equate that to us here today. Do you realize, folks, that God has the victory for us today to give us the power? He says, power through the Lamb that was slain. Jesus was slain for us. He was a sacrifice given for us. But I want to read what Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians. I want to read a few verses here as we try to wrap this up. In Ephesians, the first chapter, I'm going to switch gears again here. Because see what I love about this too is Apostle Paul, he was not some of the original disciples, was he? He wasn't. He wasn't one of the 12. He came late. In fact, when he was Saul, he persecuted the very ones that Jesus had called into the ministry. He persecuted the church, all right? And then Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and changed his life around, turned it around. And then Apostle Paul starts preaching the gospel himself and spreading the gospel. He got a hold of the spiritual formulas that started working in his life, all right? But he had to start back at the basics, okay, when he became Paul, all right? And then he writes this letter to those at Ephesus. So in Ephesians, the first chapter, I want to read a few verses here. Ephesians 1, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give in unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness in his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to the head to be head over all things to the church. Thank the Lord. So what Apostle Paul is saying here, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Again, folks, it's through the Holy Spirit. It's a process of time, all right? We all start out as babes in Christ. We, as the scriptures talk about drinking milk as a babe, just in a spiritual sense, the basics, the 2 plus 2 equals 4, 3 times 3 equals 9. But as time goes on, there are more complicated things that we can tackle, so to speak. But it's through the power that Jesus paved the way and said, you, just like his disciples, they understood the basics. And Jesus is saying, before long, you'll be doing more than me. You're going to go preach the gospel throughout the whole earth because I'm limited as one person. But when I send you out, I'm going to send you out with the Holy Spirit that'll teach you personally some of these complicated things that maybe other people can't explain, all right? But the Holy Spirit can explain to us personally. The scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means we get down to the basics and simplicity before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. This struggle with this or struggle with that. But Lord, I'm open to you. Remember last Sunday we talked about inviting the King into our lives, all right? Jesus, all right? Welcoming him into our hearts. So that's the basics as we get down on our knees and say, Lord, I could, like the psalmist David did, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And that's what through the Holy Spirit, he starts teaching us things personally that for me, I need to do this or not do this. And thank the Lord, we serve a personal God and we can still be kings and priests because we're connected to him directly through the Holy Spirit. All right. But he'll teach us and give us the power and the enlightenment, and the understanding that he wants to give us. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we can start understanding all the things that we can inherit in the Spirit through Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Okay? So, I want to conclude with this here this morning. And I'm just going to give a little personal testimony. Because sometimes life can get challenging and complicated. And Satan wants to bully us and intimidate us and cause us to well up with fear and to tremble and to tuck our heads, so to speak, and to be intimidated, pushed over in a corner somewhere and to become useless, really, where we can't function for God and we can't go out and do what God wants us to do, all right? Even some of the basic things and maybe lead to some more advanced things, whatever the case. But even this morning, and this is just a little testimony I'm going to throw out here. I was battling with some things myself that the devil tried to come in and you know, what about this and what about that? And oh, did you know, see this? And I'm like, there is a temptation there to be overwhelmed with that. There is a temptation there to dwell on some unknown factors that, you know, I don't know everything. And I don't know the future. And I don't know how to do this. And I don't know how I'm going to handle this. But I serve a God. And this is how I was able to come back to the devil saying, you know what? The scripture says, I think Peter said this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you realize that's a real basic principle here? But you know what? It doesn't. Maybe I've served the Lord for 20 or 30 years. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I got to go back to the basics. But folks, there's still power in the basics because it's right and it's true and it works. Thank the Lord. And when I cast those cares on the Lord, folks, then came the peace. Because I told the devil, like, I can't handle it, but I serve a Savior that he can handle it. Thank the Lord. I can cast those things on him because I don't know what to do with them. I'm just a human. I'm just like Abraham. I'm just like Isaac. I'm just like Gideon. I'm just like Peter. I'm just a human, just a basic individual, but I can take hold of some basic truths and go all the way back to the principles that God gave Abraham, and he called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And folks, we can get in a place where we feel like we're in a pickle, we're in a tight spot. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this is gonna, Lord's going to work this out, but we can claim the name of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And yes, that's the basics, but folks, it works. And we don't know how he's going to provide, but Lord, I have the faith. You promised you would never leave me nor forsake me. So I'm going to trust in you in this situation. The Lord will provide. Thank the Lord. So those are just a few little examples We could go on about some more, but my burden this morning is that I want us to be encouraged in the Lord that there is power through the Lamb that was slain. It was because Jesus took our place on the cross and he was resurrected the third day and he rolled the stone away, proving again that no matter what Satan tries, and you know what? There were even extra guards sent to guard that tomb. But what took place there? An earthquake. Who caused the earthquake? The Lord did. And he rolled the stone away. The angel just flipped the little, just tossed the stone to the side. There was nothing for the Lord. That's how powerful our God is. And the Lord can do the same thing in our personal lives. If there's some things that's held us captive, that's held us in chains, folks, we can be free, walk around free, walk out of that tomb of depression, walk out of that tomb of fear and anxiety, whatever it is, and God can roll the stone away because there's power through the Lamb that was slain for us today, folks. And yes, it may be some simple basics, but folks, it works. Because the devil wants to come along and he wants to complicate things. And he may want to even add some other things in here, like add some zeros and some other little things over here. And we're like, what's that? But you know, all we have to do is go back to the Word. How did the Lord give this to his disciples, to his people in the Word? And then through the Spirit, we can go back and say, wait, that doesn't line up with what the Word of God says. Let's take that back out. Yes. All right? We're going to stick to thus saith the Lord. Because, folks, there's power in that because it works. That quadratic formula has proven that it works millions and if not trillions of times. People have worked that equation and it still works today. So, folks, what I want to tell you this morning, God is still in control. God is still God Almighty. Jesus is still the Son of God, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us and willing to give us the Holy Spirit, to give us that extra fuel, that extra octane, so to speak, the spiritual octane, to gain the victories over Satan in our daily lives, all right? Where we don't have to say, oh, maybe once or twice a year I can get things right. Folks, we can be right with the Lord every day through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how did that come? It was power through the Lamb that was slain for you and I. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to him. Yes. Amen.